You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
All right, everyone, for this first segment, this is one of those that we promised you about a year and a half ago, and I like to say that we are coming through on our promises. And here's what it was. About a year and a half ago, we got the opportunity to interview Don Wetrick from the Start EdUp Foundation. I mean, thought leaders from our generation, some of the people at the highest level, are pointing to what Don is doing and saying he is completely flipping the educational entrepreneurial model on its head. And the work he's doing through his nonprofit is changing the lives of the next generation, is really being an obvious place to point to if you want your kids to have a different educational experience than really anyone else. And it's really incredible what he has done. But embedded in that episode was something almost more compelling in that, how cool is it when that idea, something that's transformed your life and something that you've dedicated your life's work to, is actually picked up not only by the next generation, but by your child. And Don's daughter, Ava, obviously being inspired and seeing what her dad was working on and the impact that it was having on those individuals, looked around and said, you know, the mentors that are marketed to me by MTV and social media, et cetera, are the worst. It's lifestyles of the rich and famous. And it's not something that I aspire to do. I need to go find some different mentors. And instead of just doing it for herself, she's like, I want to document this and I want to highlight the profiles of people. Who should people my age, who should they be looking towards? And she went out and she created a platform for this called Mentor Z, the podcast. I think she's been publishing podcasts and talking to different mentors for the last 2 years now. It's truly incredible. Today, we're going to bring her on the show with her father and kind of work through some of these big ideas. And I think to date, she will be the youngest guest that we have ever had on Choose FI. And this is going to be a fantastic episode. To help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I am doing quite well. Yeah, this is really exciting. I love talking with people who think differently. And that's what's shown through when we chatted with Don a year and a half ago. This is someone who thinks differently, and he's passed that on to his daughter. Ava saw that there were no mentors her age, and she said, there's no they, right? They is me. I have to take charge of this and set this up for people my generation to find the lessons that they need to learn. And I love that concept. So with that, Don and Ava, welcome to Choose FI.
Hey.
Thank you so much for having us on.
All right, Ava, well, I'm so excited that you're joining us today. And I guess I really want to get to your story, but I think to really understand and appreciate your story, we have to like go back and refresh for our audience your dad's story. So I'd be curious, You know, Don's on the call with us. He can obviously tell us his story, but what is his story from your perspective? Like, what have you seen your dad do and put his life energy into over the last couple of years?
Oh my
gosh. Watch yourself, young lady.
honestly, it's been incredible because I grew alongside my dad. I don't think a lot of kids can say that they experience the same thing. You have a parent, they do their job, and you are playing around being your own self. But I watched my dad and my mom both transition into different periods of their lives, and I got to grow alongside of them. And I think that that was a fascinating experience because when I was younger, I used to think my dad was the smartest guy in the world. I was like, dang, my dad knows everything. But when I got to be 16, 17, I started reading the same books that he did. And I kind of paused and I was like, my dad's not smart. He just reads.
Whoa. Phrasing.
we'll argue about that later.
But yeah, I think that was the biggest and the coolest thing I got to recognize is that my dad was intelligent because he reads and because he was constantly learning. So I wanted to do the same. And, you know, no 12-year-old has ever gotten forced to get on Twitter, but I definitely was. So from a young age, he was always encouraging me to create, to build, and to keep thinking. Actually, one really defining moment is he made me sit down and he made me read, not even a chapter, just a couple pages of Tim Ferriss's The 4-Week Work Life. And he was like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And I read it and I do love it. But because you were resentful towards your parents, I was like, Dad, it's stupid and I don't like it. And then from then on, in secret, I just started diving into who Tim Ferriss was and Tom Bilyeu and Simon Sinek and some other amazing people. And even seeing my dad transition from a teacher to now owning a nonprofit has been crazy, because he's in this new element right now. And it's so interesting as a daughter to watch my dad do something completely different and out of the norm, and something that he's never done before, and fully embrace it. And I get to watch on the sidelines and learn from him as a business owner. So all in all, it's been an incredible experience.
Brad, I'll send this to you, but just something embedded in what Ava just said, like you are a product of what you consume.
Yeah. Ava, you are speaking to my soul here, to quote something that Jonathan often says. It's astonishing how much you can learn by reading and by listening to podcasts and taking in information. Obviously, we say here at Chooseify, one of the biggest aspects is taking action. So clearly you can't just be a passive observer here. But reading, one of my kind of favorite quotes that I've read is Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's right-hand man. His family calls him a book with legs, because that's all they see of him. He's sitting in a chair and it looks like all they see is the book holding out in front of him and legs dangling. So he is a book with legs. And this is a multi-billionaire and he reads 10 hours a day. So I love that you latched on very early to, sure, I know you're joking, your dad is clearly very intelligent, but he's constantly learning, right? And it's gotta be cool at your age, and I hate to say that like kind of negatively, but at your age to be listening to Tom Bilyeu and Simon Sinek and Tim Ferriss, like, have you had any success getting any of your friends consuming the same type of content?
Oh, absolutely. Once you start speaking and once you're around your peers and they know that you're acting and thinking differently, and because of that, you're living a different life, they tend to ask, how do you know this? How are you doing this? You're so motivational. You get up early, or, you know, you're eating the right things, or you have a really positive mindset. And I don't. I'm nihilistic. How can I be like that? Usually then I can turn to them and say, I do want to help you. Here's how I've learned. Actually, I accidentally formed a bit of a book club in my college. I kept talking about one book that I loved a lot, and I got three, and again, college kids are we're very broke, but I got three people to buy this book and read it and then talk to me about it and how life-changing it was for them. So a lot of times it has to be really personal, but when it comes to my own peers, I have had a good amount of success helping them see a different light in a different way.
All right, Ava, you've got my interest piqued here. What's the book? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Ooh. It's a fantastic book.
That is very interesting. So Dominic Cortuccio, who we've had on the podcast a number of times, I think he rates that as his favorite and most impactful book of all time. So that's interesting.
Oh yeah. Right alongside of Viktor Frankl.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow. Those are high okay. words.
So Don, when you look at how Started Up Foundation really began, it began you taking a idea of, we're teaching kids to basically work on assembly lines and perform rote task. And we don't even know what the jobs of the future are. And so since right. we have no idea, we got to cultivate a mindset, right? I can learn anything. How do I bring that to the table? And how do you build that muscle while there's really no risk involved? That, to me, that seems to be the heart of what you're promoting with Started Up Foundation. What did it look like? You know, you talked about, we just got to get Ava to read books. Like, if you're a product of what you consume, we need to get you to read more. What did it look like you as a parent when your kids do resent you at this age, 12, 13 years old? Like, whatever you have to say, it's immediately invalidated. What did you do?
I didn't. She's being somewhat funny. I was probably a little bit pushy with 4-hour work week, but Ava's always been a voracious reader, always. Matter of fact, I remember when she interviewed Tom, she talked about this book and this book and this book. And he's like, wait. And then she's like, oh yeah, this year's Christmas list was like 10 books. And so she, you know, maybe on the Tim Ferriss thing, she pushed back, but it's learning by osmosis in some ways. Cause you know, Anna and Grant think this way too. They just haven't dove as deep into the reading side as Ava did. But you know, the rebellion thing was pretty brief. I got to be honest with you. You know, they hear dad talk about these things all the time. I think the greatest problem is, and Ava can weigh on this more, is also be careful what you wish for. You know, my wife is a little bit more traditionally minded. And so when Ava was like questioning, do I even go to college or not? Alicia looked at me and she's like, this is your fault. because my wife, she put herself through college, but she didn't go to college. She went to community college and drove. She always had two jobs while going into college. And so, Alicia really kind of won that battle. I want to say battle. My wife and I have an unbelievably great marriage. But yeah, like she's like, I want Ava to go to experience life, because right now she's young and she needs to experience life and, dare I say, have fun.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I wanted to actually talk about college because in the episode you mentioned, you know, Ava is still trying to decide whether or not she is even going to go. And so I think that there's kind of two schools of thought here, which both have people that are dogmatic about. One, the everybody needs to go to college. Everybody needs to go to college. And it's either college should be free for everybody or you should go to college no matter what the cost. That's kind of the two ends of the same dogma. The other aspect is this kind of new college is a total waste. Nobody should do it. It's a waste of time. Like that, you see that as well. And so, you know, Don, when you're kind of straddling the fence post there and you see both of these communities, you know, that are running kind of parallel to each other and your daughter is trying to decide what she's going to do as well. I'm just curious, like, what was your perspective on Ava having to work through that decision? And then Ava, I'd like your thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I mean, one, it was Ava's decision. She had actually had a plan kicking around her head that there was a couple of entrepreneurs that we have befriended, and she thought maybe I can live in Austin for a few weeks and or a few months, and maybe I can live in New York City for a couple months. I mean, that might be my education. And we were ready to support that. But my overarching theme here, because I wouldn't, and I this is one that I enjoyed, is that people say, well, it's easy to say until it's your kids. Well, that's what exactly it became. Here's my theme always. If you have the money to go, go. I think that it's not necessarily wise of just going for the sake of going. I think it's really great to have a plan. That being said, there are still a lot of majors that are really relevant. You need to do your own research. You need to look at what the ROI is. Hopefully not going down too far the rabbit hole. I'm wanting to work with a couple of lawmakers. I think that the college industry could very much look like the mortgage industry. You know, there's a loan to value ratio. You cannot get a mortgage if it's 110% LTV, you're never going to get a mortgage. Well, if you start taking a look at the colleges and what they're making per major, not just per college, if it's $80,000 to go per year and the average salary, well, first of all, the average graduate of that major is 30% and their income is 29,000, 100 and some negative LTV would be folly. So I always tell, and until the government forces that kind of transparency, do your own math. College doesn't have to be for everybody, but again, there's still a lot of majors that are very relevant. So I am fence posting on this or fence setting on this one, but that's a decision that ultimately Ava had to make. But I do stand behind some college stuff.
Yeah, it does sound like you're sitting on the fence there, right? Because you're saying if you have the money to go to college, go. But yet then you're diving into the exact return on investment.
I mean, I think both of those should be like a prerequisite. One, don't go if you don't have the money. And if you are going to do that, you got to look at the ROI. You're speaking my language on this.
Or have a plan. I mean, I really, again, this is where I get, you know, if you could afford to go, go. But, you know, you're talking to a guy that was raised by an educator and a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, we always live below our means. So I always think you should have a plan or some scholarships and a coupon.
But Donna, I want to push back on this for a second, because obviously you're really thoughtful about these topics. And I know how versed you are in financial independence thought. So if you have the money to go, go. But I guess it depends what your definition of have the money is, right? Like, I clearly have the money to send my children, but yet it's 4 years of opportunity cost and whatever the actual cost is. Like, I can cut a check for that, but is it worth it? And that's something, frankly, like, I'm asking you selfishly because I know you've thought about this deeper than I have. And I have kids going to college in 6 years. And I'd love to hear your genuine thoughts about this.
Oh, man. From one dad to another, from my heart. Again, I hate to sound like a politician. Let's see, right? Because in 6 years, let's see what the market looks like and let's see what's employable. I think that there's some, well, heck, we have one here in Indiana. There is a 2-year cybersecurity program. Okay, that's not traditional college. You don't have to take philosophy courses. You just take cybersecurity. Those things are going to be trending because I do agree with you. Because when I said, if you have the money, go. Well, I said, but have a plan. Be very specific on what your major is. Like, do things now. I mean, I think the best thing that I've wanted to do for my students is the thing that you think you might love, start doing it or shadow people. Because if you realize, wow, this is not for me, great. You just eliminated you changing majors one or two times. So be as thoughtful, you know, while you're in high school or even middle school about what you think you might want to do and start eliminating things. Because I agree with you, even though you have the financial means to go and say, oh, just go and figure life out. Being this, and I'm on Choose FI, yeah, you might want to have a little bit better of a plan and better background for your, you know, what your kids might want.
All right, so we're definitely going to dive into that. But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsor. I took my first stab at writing on the internet, actually via ChooseFI, at the end of 2016. And I still remember right now how good I thought that first draft was. And then I started using Grammarly. I signed up for the free service and was blown away at having objective eyes on my attempt, my first attempt, how much I had missed, how painfully bad it was. I got so much value from the free service that I quickly switched over to premium. And I can tell you that people that have been writing either books or blogs all around the internet, they are using this service because it is that good. Not only does Grammarly immediately up your game, but it actually teaches you to be a better writer. So for the ChooseFI community, we've been able to negotiate a 20% discount. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium when you sign up at grammarly.com/ChooseFI. That's 20% off Grammarly Premium at grammarly.com/ChooseFI. To get that 20% off, you need to sign up on a desktop device. Although Grammarly works on all devices, for whatever reason, this discount will only go through if you sign up on your desktop. That's grammarly.com/ChooseFI. Hey everyone, back by popular demand, we're going to be offering our entrepreneurship summer camp this fall as our fall challenge to young business owners. And Brad, I know we've actually talked about in the show, but this has had a massive impact on your family.
Yeah, Jonathan, you're absolutely right. My kids went through the Simple Startup Workbook and it made them think like entrepreneurs. And it was just so refreshing to see the questions that they came back to me with while they were going through the book. And that has extended for months now to the point where my older daughter, Anna, and her friends are now potentially starting up an animal grooming business, which is really, it's just so exciting to see them get together and talk through. They've spent hours on the phone just talking through all the ins and outs. And the genesis was this book.
Yeah, this has proven to be a fun and very successful program for entrepreneurs. And I'll just say this, we've said it before, but it's so true. It's more true now than ever. Not everyone needs to be an entrepreneur, but everyone, especially your kids going into the future, they need to think like one. This Simple Startup will do that. So the course, it's going to be a virtual course. It's going to run from October 5th to December 11th. It's an $80 entry fee, which does also include a copy of the workbook. Registration is open now, but that's going to close on August 31st or if it sells out sooner. So if you're at all interested, make sure you register. We did two of these over the summer and they sold out incredibly quickly, but we want to make sure everyone is actually getting their course materials on time. You're going to get actionable life skills in creating, marketing, and running a business for your student. For more information, go to ChooseFI.com/fall challenge. That's one word, ChooseFI.com/fall challenge for more information.
So I look at college through an extremely mercenary ROI perspective now. Like there's no, like you will never, if my child comes to me and says they want the college experience, I will say, go to your room, right? Like, forget about it. Like that is not what college is for at this point in time. It is, you're looking at potentially a lost decade. You're looking at student loan debt, massive cost. Like it's an ROI calculation more now than ever. And in 5 years, even more so. So that's like my entire framework for this. And I guess, you know, we're just guys, 30s and 40s, like hashing this out. We have this rare opportunity here to actually talk to someone that is quite literally in the trenches and had to go, didn't have the choice of not thinking this way. Her dad was saying, this is how we think through this college choice. Like, so Ava, let me give this floor to you. 19 years old now, within the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, one of the big decisions was this college decision and the work that you do, the prep that you do, the application process, the SATs, the scholarships you apply for, the career planning choices, all of that stuff that all of your peers are doing, you know, that's what your peers are doing. And you're now like, I'm just curious, you had to make this choice. You're going to college. Like what was going through your mind? What was your plan, your ROI calculation? How did you navigate this?
Oh my goodness. You know, there were 1,000 different things I was thinking in terms of going to college or not going to college. Again, I was surrounded by a community of people, of young entrepreneurs, and especially, you know, my dad's friends who are these very influential, very amazing people that all advocated to not go to college. So I had this major pushback of, well, if you go to college, you'll be a failure. I had my friends saying, well, I'm young, I'm 19, I'm 20, and I didn't go to college and I'm doing great. You should do the same thing. And I viewed it as, well, if I go to college, then I won't be successful. If I go to college, then I won't be this young hustler entrepreneur. And the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that that just wasn't my path. And that was something really difficult that I had to come to because this story I wanted was so important to me. But I knew for a fact that I needed time to grow up. I needed time to delay quote unquote adulthood. And I needed time to figure out the I don't even want to say the real world, because we're always in the real world, but I needed time to figure out what's out there. And I needed time to experience being alone while still kind of being financially supported, because I mean, being a college student, I can't really make an income. So all of those were factors. And honestly, when it comes to SATs, ACTs, I never had to take one. Actually, my mom did tell me I had to take the ACT. I did take it. I didn't study for it at all. It was mind numbing, but we got out of it. All in all, it was a large process. And, you know, when I got here, I was a little more optimistic because I realized I had time. I had the ability to be on my own. I could think for myself and I could learn on my own. In getting to college, it has been a very dramatic experience, and I've only been able to take away positive things, not just from the curriculum that I've been intaking, but from the, I guess you could say, like real world concepts, or just what life has been teaching me, what reading a book a week has been teaching me, what my professors and students and life experiences have been teaching me.
So Ava, you had this peer group of entrepreneurs who, whether overtly or not, were saying you'd basically be a failure if you went to college. And I'm curious how that conversation has moved forward in the intervening time. Like, what have people actually said to you? Like, did that come to pass? Was it real, or did you kind of imagine that in your head as like a worst case scenario? And what do you say to them?
Yeah, you know, some of my friends are vastly successful, and that to me is amazing. Some of them have already made their six figures. Some of them have already made a very profound name for themselves. And I find that amazing. So when it comes to the conversation of college, for them, they're still like, you know, I wouldn't have gone, but their mentality, what they've built for themselves, has allowed them to not go to college. Some of my other friends are working really diligently and really hard to make a name for themselves, but it's quite a struggle to be 19 or 20 and living on your own. It's quite a struggle to be 18 and thinking about where your paycheck is coming from and trying to figure out all those things without any financial support. I'm very blessed with the fact that my parents were able to pay for my college, and I have multiple scholarships to help back me up to, you know, lessen the cost. But yeah, a lot of those conversations were, they were definitely in my head a little more. And as transitions happen, as time goes by, I've learned that there is a very nice benefit to going to college, not just for what you're learning, because I have a very unique major, but for your mentality. And you can figure things out on your own. And suddenly your influence isn't your parents, and your influence is the world and what you choose to consume and what you choose to be around. And I found that to be massively helpful to my personal development.
So let's talk about that. There's a couple of things you mentioned in there. One, that you were able to skip the ACT and the SAT. I'll start there. Anything actionable there for the audience?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, my college is a little different because they don't believe in any in standardized tests. So some Ivy League colleges 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, started to say, hey, we're not really going to look at SATs, ACTs. We're going to look at your prowess and what you do and not just your grades. I go to Ball State. And they said something very similar. So they said, hey, if you don't want to take the ACT or SAT, it's okay. We don't necessarily think it's a great gauge of your academic prowess. So we're just not going to take a look at it. And because of that, I didn't have to submit any ACTs or SATs. And I was really happy about that.
Wow. And you were still able to apply for scholarships. So you mentioned scholarships a minute ago. Like, talk us through what type of scholarships you were able to secure and how that process worked.
Yeah, a lot of my scholarships came from academics. So I kept up a really high GPA throughout my entire high school career. That allowed me to get multiple scholarships just based on that alone. Ball State, when they look at your GPA, they say if it's high enough, they'll automatically deduct a couple $1,000s off of your tuition every year. So I think I get $4,000 off every year if I keep my grades up. So it's a good motivator. And then also my dad is an alumni. So through some alumni programs, I'm allowed to get, I think, like $1,000, $2,000 off by applying and saying, hey, my dad was alumni here. Here's what I've benefited from Ball State. Things of that nature.
Ava, it's interesting. I heard you mention in there, I needed a little bit more time to grow up. And I can appreciate that. You know, I just mentioned a second ago how I look at college through this mercenary ROI lens. And I still feel that way. I haven't changed my mind on that. But I hear you say, I need a little bit more time to grow up. But at the same point, you also said, I picked a unique degree and a unique major. I'm curious, like, I suspect that there was an ROI calculation. Like, you are someone that made the decision to go to college, but it's an intentional decision and you're formulating your plan. What did you pick for your major?
Yeah, Ball State offers a very interesting program, and a lot more colleges are starting to develop these programs and majors throughout the country. But my major is entrepreneurship. which does sound like a bit of an oxymoron. A lot of my friends will kind of, you know, make fun of me a little bit for it. Like, oh, you don't study entrepreneurship. You go out and do it. But college can teach you how to run a business. They can teach you how to be your own accountant, your own marketer, your own business, your own CEO. And they can teach you how to create a great business plan and make sure that everything you're building is functional and profitable. So that's the major I took. And then in terms of growing up, it's been amazing. It's been nothing short of amazing. Because again, while you do have that very rigid ROI, making sure that it, you know, logically makes sense, emotionally and mentally, you know, I was 18 and I'm 19 now. I don't want to say that I'm a child because technically I'm a legal adult, but you know, 18 through 25 is an immense learning period in any person's life. It is a time for incredible growth if you let it be. And, you know, you talked a little bit about the college experience, and I kind of laughed at that because that's not necessarily anything I was going for. I know my dad said, you know, dare she have a little bit of fun, but my fun is different. My fun is reading. My fun is seeing what I can build. My fun is interviewing and talking to amazing people like yourself. And that's what I like to spend my time doing. And then also just being around your own peers, being around a ton of these 19 to 25 year olds and these professors and having all of these opportunities being laid out for you, some for free, some for a little bit of cost. It's been really, I don't know how to put it. It's just been very helpful because when you're on your own, when you're living on your own, when everyone else is allowing you to experience different things, you can really come back down and say, okay, who do I want to be? How do I want to grow? And how do I want to differentiate myself? Because again, you have the example of the world now. You're not looking at your parents anymore. You're looking at what everyone else is doing. And some of the things that people are doing are not the best thing, are not in your interest at all. So I like to look at those examples and say, hey, how can I stray from this? How can I learn from this person's mistake? And how can I make sure that I stay better off?
So Ava, you're learning entrepreneurship on campus, but you walked onto campus as an entrepreneur already, right? Like you had already started your podcast. I'd love to hear about the intersection of what you were doing previously and what you're doing now. Has it changed? Has it shifted? What have you learned? How has that worked actually at the school?
Yeah, it's only gotten more serious. When I was younger and starting this podcast, I think I started when I was 16, 17 for this podcast, and I was taking it with a lot of fun, and, you know, with the approach of, oh my gosh, I get to learn. And I'm still the same way now. But when I walked onto campus, I sat down and I could tell these stories about what I've already done. And people were, you know, people took interest into it and they said, how can I help you? What can I do for you? How can Ball State help you and support you? And I thoroughly enjoyed that. So honestly, getting onto campus has been I don't want to say an accelerator, but it's been a personal accelerator, right? It's like, okay, well, now I really want to invest in this. I really want to make sure my podcast makes it. And I really want to make sure I can provide quality content or, you know, great messages and help my peers in the best way possible. So it's been a huge help.
So let's talk about Mentor Z, your podcast, just for a minute here. We have an audience that spans a lot of ages and a lot of parents that want their kids to find better mentors, better role models, and someone they can relate to. So if you were to look back at the last 3 years of your body of work, could you pull out just a couple big ideas for our audience that you think would make a difference as they, maybe either someone is listening to this and wants to listen directly, or maybe they want to share this with someone that would really benefit for this, like, just a couple of big ideas that you've pulled from some of the guests that you've had on your show.
Yeah. The first thing that came to mind when you posed that question was that one of the biggest concepts throughout all of my podcasts is that your life does not have to be this way. Simply put, your life does not have to be this way. A lot of my peers are living in, you know, they're struggling, you know, they're struggling mentally, physically, emotionally. They're not doing the best. They want more out of life, but they're just stuck, essentially. And all of my guests can come on with ease and say, hey, I was in that position. I was that young teenager not knowing what I was going to do. I was that 20-year-old struggling and, you know, trying to find my way throughout life. But I got here. I got here and you can do the exact same thing. And it gives me so much hope. It gives me so much, not pride, but it fills me with a lot of joy to see all these mentors come on and say, even though I was young then, I learned and I worked hard and I got to somewhere else now, and you can do the exact same thing. And I find it to be very inspirational. I'm trying to think of another. Dad, can you think of any other?
I think just Tom Bilyeu getting that out of the way. That was your first and you sat on it. I loved when you interviewed Tom and she sat on it for a year. She didn't want to release it because she didn't think it was good enough. And then when she put it out, people were like, I mean, I don't think they said it because it was Tom. I think they said it because, like, I thought it was one of your best. But that was kind of her learning growth, is that, you know, her, for, and it's funny because, like, she never asked me for any help on getting guests except Tom, because that was like she wanted Tom. And we've been lucky and blessed that you know, we have a really good relationship with Tom and especially his sister. But no, just watching her get over that anxiety, because like, I'm not going to lie, the first two or three minutes of that podcast, she was a nervous wreck.
Ooh.
And then, yeah. She kind of got into it, because I even snuck in on her and she's like, "What do you want, Dad?" I'm like, keep going. I wanted it to be good, but.
Oh, you have no idea. Actually, half the time, I don't think you noticed this, but after every question I asked, I was starting to run out of breath, if you couldn't tell through the audio. So right as I got done asking a question, I was standing up because I was in my dad's standing closet. He would start talking and I would duck down, I'd squat down, and I'd catch breath every time. Yeah. I mean, that was a major learning curve for me, was Tom's episode, because I realized, you know, it's possible. That was something incredible. I realized that it was possible for me to interview someone, you know, an idol of mine. And I was like, well, you know, what else can I reach? What else can I go for? And we've been chasing that ever since, I think.
Yeah, I have to say, Tom Bilyeu is someone, while I have never met or spoken with him, he's someone who has impacted my life significantly. I think just his mindset and to see where he's come from and where he is now. I think he went to USC and wanted to be a film major. And he had this limiting mindset. And he talked about himself being the king of remedial jobs, right? This is a guy who's brilliant. And to hear him today, he wanted to be like the smartest person in the room. And he realized that that mindset was holding him back. And now he talks about identity. I know we've talked about this, Jonathan, on the podcast numerous times. I'm the type of person that ... And then fill in whatever that means to you. So for me, it's I'm the type of person that does the right thing even when no one is looking. Those words, while I came to those on my own, this concept of identity, I got from Tom Bilyeu. So I can tell you it's amazing to see someone like that go through this journey and then impact me and hundreds of thousands of me's across the world. Ava, you as well, obviously. It's really neat, the ripple effect of this content that you're putting out, that Tom's putting out, that hopefully we're putting out. It's really cool. And for me, it drives off of mindset.
All right, Ava, how about one more? I mean, you've been recording for several years and the guests that you've had on your show are unbelievable, unbelievable mentors for people. Give me one more big idea, something that's really resonated with you and you want to share.
On a personal note, I think one of the biggest podcasts that have impacted me has been my interview with Dove Barron. I knew for a fact that Dove, you know, he's one of the leaders in the world, especially when it comes to authentic leadership. He's been an international speaker for 30 years. He's written several books. He's just an amazing person all around and someone that I greatly respected and admired. And I knew the potential of him coming onto my show was so slim, because not only do I not have a lot of episodes out, I'm not highly acclaimed like some of my friends are. But the fact that I got to have him on and we did a fantastic interview, you know, meant the world to me, because that was one of the first episodes that I really made sure to intentionally dive deep on. I spared no expense onto thoroughly laying out questions, making sure I hit home with him on several topics, and getting really personal with him, with my final question being, you know, who is your inner child? Which is one of the most vulnerable questions you can ask anybody. And after drawing away from that, he really liked the episode. He has a top podcast for Fortune 500 companies, I believe. And he said, hey, Ava, I want you to do this, this, and this with this podcast. I want you to edit the episode like this. I want you to, you know, do this because it's going to be better. And then he left. And then a couple of days later, the woman who introduced me to Dove said, hey, I talked to him. He really believes in you. He, you know, admired what you did, and he wants to be like a genuine mentor to you and a genuine leader to you. And I just remember my dad and I were at a co-working space, and I was down on my, you know, knees just tearing up. I was like, this person believes in me. This leader of the world, you know, believes in what I can do. And I came to my dad and I was just tearing up. I was like, Dad, like, the dumb parent said he believes in me. And I see the hug right now. And Dad is tearing up too. He's like, I'm proud of you. And that was, you know, that really shifted my perspective on the power of interviewing and what it can do if you really dive deep with your guests. So now, you know, every episode I create, I double my research. I double, you know, all the question generations I have. I make sure to think, well, you know, if I can answer it, or if I think I know the answer that person's going to provide, I'm not going to ask it because someone else already has. So it's been, you know, it's been very successful, and I've gotten to be really personal with my guests. I've got to be friends with my guests, and from that, and because they like those episodes and I, you know, make it entertaining, they like to help me out, give me more guests, give me recommendations. You know, if they're podcast guests themselves or if they're podcast owners themselves, they'll let me know how I can improve my marketing or things of that nature. So Dove Barron was definitely a shift in everything that I believed in terms of interviewing and podcasting.
So I want to talk about kind of this imposter syndrome, who am I? And I want to talk about it from a 17-year-old's perspective that is, you know, interviewing or reaching out or proposing, anything in this space, right? And I only say this, say, Don, I want to bring you in on this because I actually think there's something here, like something that you have seen. We talked about it briefly in the episode, but when young kids, right, young adults start pursuing these sort of creative endeavors, it's so rare. It's so rare that it stands out. And I'm just curious if you could add a little bit of information or to fill that in.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I've seen almost the exact opposite is the fake it till you make it mentality. Hype bros doing hype things is popular. And there's a formulaic way of doing that. And that you try to make things look more important than they are. Then there's other people that understand the long term of this, which ironically is that's right at the convergence of Gary, the best part of Gary Vee and the worst part of Gary Vee. The thinking long term and building something wonderful and being humble is a part of Gary's message. And then obviously people get stuck sometimes in the hype. So the imposter syndrome can be either both negative and positive. I know that I'm an imposter, but I'm going to pretend that I'm going to make it through. And sometimes that works. And then sometimes it gets discovered. You know, I've been proud of what Ava's done. And I've seen some other creators do the same thing, is like the humility was key when she was interviewing people. And I just remember that, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was eavesdropping. I was literally on the other side of the wall listening to her interview Tom. And I'm like, I just wanted to run in and go ask him this or ask him that. But some of the naivete when it started off was great. And then she started asking so many questions. I think twice on that episode, Tom said, "How old are you?" And then he's like, "Wait, you read that book too?" And then I think it's when he finally said, he's like, and Ava kind of calmly said, "Yeah, my Christmas list this year was 10 books. And I think that it was that humility. Then the, I won't want to say a flex, but you know, Ava's insights started to kick in. And I think that was kind of the right way to do it. She hasn't done really any marketing for her podcast. She hasn't done much in that, but she treated it like kind of her own personal EDU, right? I mean, she's been interviewing people that she's learning from. I think that there's a lot of value in the classes she's taking that we're paying for, but my gosh, she's gotten an education and a half by, and this is as a dad, there's been a couple times I'm like, wow, how did you get him? They said no to me on my podcast.
Hey, Don, so as I mentioned before, you are certainly a member of the financial independence community, and we talk a lot about second generation FI and how do you pass these messages on to your children, right? And we have a unique opportunity here to be interviewing both you and your daughter. I'd love for you to talk through the lessons that you've tried to pass along to Ava. And then, of course, after the fact, I'd love to hear from Ava's perspective.
First of all, it's osmosis, right? It's the way you're raised. I'll give it into a small story. We were eating at McDonald's. This is just when Ava and Anna, we didn't have Grant yet. And so Ava was probably, you know, 6 and Anna was 3.5. And so we met this other family and Ava and Anna shared a drink. And these parents looked at us incredulously and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I don't want to have to pay for another soda. They can share it. It's free refills." And they go, "Your daughters allow you to do that?" That's story one. Story two, anytime my girls, we go out shopping, 90 times out of 100, it's on the clearance rack or it's at Salvation Army. So these things just happen because that's the way we've lived our lifestyle. We've always gone to someplace with a coupon or, thanks to you guys, some travel rewards programs. By the way, you have impacted my school. I had set so many people up with 457 plans that episode that you guys did with that teacher who rocks, by the way. That was like a really early episode you guys did.
13.
Seriously, you guys influenced a lot of educators. I hope that you guys know that. But yeah, those were just things. Like I don't want to say they didn't know any better, but they've seen that living below your means rocks. And there's a prideful thing. My dad was a teacher. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. He retired at 57. So those kind of inspirational lessons of seeing family do this, of course they're frugal. like Grant and Anna and Ava, will they're rock solid members of the Choose FI community, which, by the way, last side story, when you guys sent me the book, my wife didn't know that it was for me, and she read it and she wouldn't let me start it until she finished it.
Oh, so that's awesome.
It's a family affair. Yeah, seriously.
That's so cool, man. Oh my goodness. You guys are incredible. All right. Well, I tell you what, on most shows, that would probably just be the end of the episode. But Ava, I think on this show, we've got to give you the chance to do the hot seat. Are you ready for this?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Let's set it up.
In a world drowning in debt and rampant consumption, trapped by the chains of lifestyle inflation, these questions highlight the secrets of those who have broken free. Welcome to the Choose FI Hot Seat.
All right, Ava, question number one. What is your favorite blog, podcast, or book of all time?
Oh my gosh. Favorite book has to be Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, or what I just currently referenced, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Podcast-wise, Impact Theory. And I'm starting to get into Choose FI, actually, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, awesome.
That is great.
All right. Question number two. In your 19 years, an inflection point in your life that was especially memorable or meaningful?
You know, one that I always reflect back to was with my dad on a summer night on the front porch the night before you're about to move somewhere. That was really impactful because we sat out there because he pulled me upstairs from me crying, and we just talked about life and how, you know, I wanted to move so desperately and, you know, we needed to go. That was seriously, that was a pinnacle of my growing.
All right, Ava, question number three, your favorite life hack?
My favorite life hack has to do with changing my environment. Human beings, we're not good at disciplining ourselves. I'm horrible at disciplining myself, but I create my dorm room or I create my environment to where it's easier for me to do things. So it's easier for me to wake up. It's easier for me to work out. It's easier for me to eat healthily because I create an environment that allows me to do it. So I get rid of all of the negatives, I guess. I get rid of all the negatives, keep the positives, and make sure they're constantly reinforced. And that has helped my life in immense ways.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is amazing. Okay, I want to ask more questions about this. How do you set this up to wake up easier? You mentioned that in there.
Yeah, so I can't accomplish it every day, but my favorite thing to do is to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I was trained to do this since my freshman year of high school through swimming, rugby, and weightlifting. I always had to get up at 4:30 so I can get to swimming. Otherwise, my coach would kill me. So, you know, in college, it's much different because I have to discipline myself. I learned I'm not going to get up at 4:30. I'm not going to pop out of bed and say, I'm ready to go. I'm sleepy, I'm comfortable, and I want to stay in bed. But what I've learned to do is I don't charge my phone near my bed anymore. I make sure it's on the ground because my bed is lofted. So now I have to get out of my bed. I have to turn off my alarm somewhere else. Now I'm already out of bed. Now I'm already uncozy. So now I can, you know, now I'll want to be cozy. So I'll get back into a cozy corner that I have created for myself. It's my environment to read. And after I read for about an hour, then I go, you know what? I get to work out, and I'm already dressed in my workout clothes because that's what I sleep in. So now all I have to do is put on some shoes and walk out the door. That's just my morning routine.
Look, if you can control your environment in a 10 by 10 dorm room, then to the audience listening to this, there's no excuse. That's amazing.
Every corner means something. Yeah.
That's so fantastic. All right. Question number four. I love this one. This is fantastic. This question is amazing. Your biggest financial mistake?
Oh, gosh. I don't, where do I start with
you can
that?
Say haven't, I... You can say haven't made any, but.
I think my biggest financial mistake is that I don't have an income currently. Like, I have not taken the time to find a way to monetize anything that I've created. And I think that's been a big mistake on my part, because being a college student, not having a sustainable income and watching my bank account deplete weekly really frustrates me. That is by far one of the biggest mistakes I feel like I've made.
This is actually really interesting. And Brad, I see you leaning in here, so I can give this over to you as well. But I'm just thinking, I consider you an entrepreneur and I consider you a business owner, but even though you are both of those, in my mind, and I think objectively, you have earned zero income, which actually points to like this idea that you can be both a business owner and an entrepreneur and for a period of time, not have a profit motive. And that's not a failure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Ava, I'm curious, was this an overt decision? Is this a community building, or is it just simply like you kind of alluded to, I just haven't gotten around to it yet? talk us through the strategy or maybe lack thereof.
Yeah, when it comes to my podcast, I really want to make sure it's authentic as possible and I'm not strayed by any financial means. So again, if someone came on and said, hey, we'll sponsor you as long as you do this, I want a lot of creative freedom and control. So I'd say probably not. And when it comes to sponsorships for podcasts, I've been told they don't pay as much as you'd like them to. So I have kind of strayed away from sponsorships. But in terms of all the other content creation I do, I haven't gotten around to it. And not only that, I don't really know how to make a profit off of what I've created. That's honestly something I've been just learning recently from one of my mentors, Nathan Harris.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's a cool thing about getting 1% better. And I have a feeling that the network that you've built and the information that you've learned, the skill set that you've acquired, it'd be difficult to put a price tag on that. So yeah, congrats to you and your family and all that. I think we actually have one more question. I don't want to rob you of this. So I'm going to let Brad ask it.
All right, Ava, question number 5, the advice you would give your younger self.
I actually just wrote an article about this. I wouldn't have it any other way, but if I can go back to my younger self and just hold her by the shoulders and say, hey, I know you're 8 years old. It's going to work out. I know you're concerned about your future already at 8. I know you're concerned about your purpose in life at like 10 or 15. You're going to figure out it's going to be okay. Relax yourself. You'll find it. Yeah.
That was actually my only concern as being a dad, is that she's always been so weight of the world. She has to do everything now. That's the dark side of having a child that's very, very, very driven, that sometimes you have to, it's okay to smell the roses as well.
Awesome. All right, Ava, someone is listening to this and they want to connect with you. They want to connect with your content. What is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Ava Wetrick. You can find me on LinkedIn, also Ava Wetrick. And if you want to check out all my work, you can find it at mentorswithazmedia.com, or you can find me on any platform that releases podcasts.
So Don, you know, this was really kind of a follow-up episode with you, and it was tied in large part to an episode that we recorded, episode 87 of our podcast, highlighting your story and the story of the Start Ed Up Foundation, a nonprofit that is really dedicated to flipping this entrepreneurial model on its head for students and for the next generation. That was almost 2 years ago, man. And I wanted to take just a minute and catch up with you now. I know that the foundation is blowing up and there's been a lot of new opportunities that have happened in the meantime. I'd love for an update for our audience.
Yeah. So since we've talked, man, it's been a while. I was asked by the state of Indiana to leave the classroom and really take the nonprofit to a new level. So we got an opportunity to bring on a couple more team members and kind of build and scale up. And then also now Started Up Foundation with a couple other partners. We run the state of Indiana pitch competition, which is one of the biggest in the country. Top prize is $25,000 per kid. They can have a team of 3. So it's $10,000 cash, $10,000 college tuition, although you have to be in the state of Indiana, and then about a $5,000 prize. We take all the 10 finalists, actually up to 30 if they have a team of 3. We do an immersion trip with them to kind of show them if they're in somewhere in Indiana, they can be just as relevant in New York City. First year, we went to New York City. Actually, that was crazy. We got to spend a half day with Seth Godin and did a thing at Atlantic Records. I don't know if we're ever going to outdo that trip. Last year, it was Austin in San Antonio, and this year, we're going to Seattle. And honestly, that's my favorite part, is that we get students out of the state and into a unique city. But yeah, other than that, you know, we're just trying to grow and scale. And then I think maybe your audience might be keen on this, but we're starting chapters. The state and our foundation realized that schools aren't necessarily going to start an innovation class anytime soon. They still are beholden to the testing culture. So what we do is we work a lot of times with co-working spaces or sometimes tech hubs, but we try to start chapters where they can attract 2 to 3 different kind of high schools. And then once a month, we do reverse pitch competitions. And by that, we, you know, bring in an opioid crisis center or a homeless shelter, usually a nonprofit that has like a staff of 3 or 4 people. And they share with them, you know, their mission and vision, but also what they need help with. And so by hearing that, the students ask them questions. They get into teams of 7 to 10. They go off for about 35 minutes in a whiteboard. And that gets them into what we call an entrepreneurial way of being. Like, if I were in charge, here's what I'd do. And then they come back and they make a pitch. We are really excited about that because our mission and vision probably has more to do with getting kids into a state of purpose and off their phone for 2 hours. You know, we have seen a lot of increase in anxiety and frustration when kids just scroll. And we have found that there's a lot of joy and magic when you have students listen with empathy to a deserving nonprofit and want to pitch solutions. So we really think that that's the building blocks of entrepreneurialism and social impact.
Nice. Don, someone's listening to this. They want to find out more about the foundation, get involved, or get their kids involved. How should they do that?
Yeah. StartEdUpFoundation.org. That's StartEdUpFoundation.org. Yeah, we're looking to expand some more chapters outside of the state. We're already starting to do that now, and would love to have conversations with especially active parents and teachers to kind of help lead this. And then you can also email me, dwetrick@startedupfoundation.org, or much like Ava said, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn as well.
To everyone listening to this, financial independence is a movement that is sweeping the globe. And what's happening is as we as individuals decide to take action on this in our own lives and see the benefits over an intermediate time period, that osmosis that Don described becomes self-evident. You see these characteristics, these traits, this I can learn anything mentality get absorbed by your kids. And, you know, if you are someone that is still like, you haven't made financial mistakes yet. The world is open to you and you're willing. I'm not trying to find my mentors on the Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous. Instead, I want to design my future, know what the rules are and crush the game. That's what Ava, you're seeing this. You're seeing Ava exhibit this behavior. And I can guarantee you, she is going, not only has she already reclaimed decades of her life, but she's going to get to design her entire future. And that can be your story as well. If you're listening to this, you want to take action, go check out choosefi.com/FI101 for our free 6-week course, which will teach you totally free the rules that they didn't teach you in school, exactly what you need to know to reclaim decades of your life and claim that ultimate, most precious, non-renewable resource, your time. Like, comment, subscribe, share this video with a friend, and we'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.